Okay, there are two preambles that I would like to issue, maybe three. Preambles means a hakdama. Preamble number one, I beg your indulgence, but I would like to speak for 1 hour without questions, because otherwise I'll accomplish nothing. Because it's a rather broad area, and really I just want to at least give the major headings, and I was told it's supposed to be halacha lemaisa, which is not really my cup of tea. I'd rather say a pilpul mechazanish, much easier for me. But because it's supposed to be halacha lemaisa, I've been working on it for a few months, trying to, it should be halacha lemaisa. Secondly, second preamble is that there are plenty of svarim and shviyas that are available. I brought a few. I could have brought my entire library. I, this week, bought about 7 svarim on Shemitah just to see what's out there, and I'm not happy with any of them. But just to tell you which ones are available, and they're in English. There's one by Rabbi Marchand. He actually put out one, the previous Shemitah. It's called Gateway to Shemitah, Comprehensive and Practical Guide. There's also something which is very fascinating, guidelines, questions and answers about the laws of Shemitah. I got a real kick out of this one. There's a sefer called Katif Shviit, which is put out by people from Gush Katif. They're also very a wonderful sefer. There's another sefer which also came out the last Shemitah, a new Madura, Dinei Shviit HaShalem. And for those like me who need pictures and diagrams, there's a sefer called V'shavta Haaretz Dinei Shviit Halacha LeMaaseh, with pictures and diagrams, Tagdolim Mishnayot, with pictures and illustrations. So I think this is the best one I've seen of all of them. Okay. And then there are others as well, for those who are interested. I have about 20 of them, 20 different volumes on Shemitah. Most of them I bought the last week and a half, and basically went through all of them in the course of a week and a half. And obviously each one has a particular perspective and a particular agenda. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's preamble number two. Preamble number three, the reason why preamble number one was advanced a moment ago is because every shayla you ask me, I have to look up. I'm not a great posek, and therefore each issue has to be examined carefully. And when you ask me questions and you think I am sholet and kol ha-Torah kula, that is midvash shekha tirchok. So therefore one has to be cognizant of who one is and where one is at, and therefore that's the reason why preamble number one. So preamble three explains preamble number one. So the first hour, I want to be free of questions, if you don't mind, and I'll just try to more or less overview some of the basic issues. I'm not telling you any chidushim. I have a few chidushim in Shemitah, but mostly in Pilpul, and not in Halacha Lemaisa. I can't tell you any chidushim in Halacha Lemaisa, and that's by the way of Hakdama, and so we'll begin. We'll start by first pointing out the that which is fairly evident, fairly obvious, that in the mitzvah of Shemitah, there are both positive, there are both mitzvot aseh and mitzvot lo taseh, and I'm not going to go through all the details of that. More or less, these are psukim and chumash that are well known, but Shemitah presents us with a really, both a challenge and a great opportunity. It's a big zchut, actually, to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael during a Shnat HaShemitah, and to be able to observe the Shemitah, Kedat V'Kedin. So as far as the positive commandments are concerned, they are fairly well known. One is the fact that the land has to lie fallow. The pasuk says, "V'shavta haaretz Shabbat Hashem." Secondly, that chavisha, plowing, is not permissible. Thirdly, there's a din that one is obligated lahafkir kol hayavul, to basically make hefker any thing that grows in the course of the Shemitah year. That's also a pasuk. And then there is another position of the Ramban, and there are different explanations of this Ramban. We spoke about it Friday night a number of times. What exactly the nature of eating Peir HaShviyas B'Kedushasan is all about. There are those who contend, according to the Rabban, there's a mitzvah to eat Peir HaShviyas B'Kedushasan. Others say it's only a Kiyum HaMitzvah. And there are different interpretations of the Ramban. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, there are some negatives, negative prohibitions. Number one, sowing. One is not permitted to sow on Shemitah, Sadechah Lo Tizra. One is not allowed to prune on Shemitah, Kamechah Lo Tizmor. This is a psuk in Mechumish. One isn't allowed to harvest that which grows in the ground, Sfiach Yitzirchah Lo Tzitzor, and also to gather the Pri HaIlan the way one does in the rest of the Shemitah cycle years. The Torah says is not permissible as well, Et Inbein Zirecha Lo Tzitzor. And as I said, you have four melachot that are assumed in the Torah, and they are Zriya and Zimira. One is sowing, and one is pruning, and one is Kitzira, harvesting, and one is Bitzira. Those are the four melachot that are awesome in our Torah. I think more or less we know what these melachot are. Namely, Zmira refers to pruning. The object of pruning is to improve the growth of the ilan of the tree. Tzira, which is harvesting. Bitsira generally refers to anavim, refers to grapes, and then, as I said, you have two other malachot that are not mentioned explicitly in the Torah itself. However, there's a machlok with these malachot that are asim in the Torah, asim rabbanan, dahainu netiyah v'chavisha. We're talking about netiyah, planting, which is not mentioned explicitly, but the Paschim assume that if pruning is not permissible, then planting is also not permissible. And as I said, these are among the malachot, these are the four malachot that I mentioned that are really almost explicitly in the text of the Torah itself. Now, going on to another mitzvah aseh, which of course I alluded to a second ago, that is the obligation that the land should rest. And the question is whether this obligation devolves upon the person or devolves upon the land. But obviously, if it devolves upon the person, that means he's obligated to leave his field and not to work the field in the course of the Shemitah year. Others say it refers to the karka itself, which means that he has to make sure that his land, actually the field, will lie fallow and it will not even be worked, even through a goy. That's at a level, all this till now is the level of the Torah level. Then there are malachot that are asr midrabanan. There's a whole list, actually, of the toladot that are rabbinically forbidden, and I'm going to list actually some of them because some of them are critical, and I'll discuss some of them actually in some detail. Number one, hashkaya. And I'll talk about these specifically. These are toladot of zriyah and zmirah. Hashkaya refers to watering. Nikush asabim, which refers of course to removing probably weeds. Dishun, which is fertilizing the karka. Kisuach, we'll talk about this specifically. Risus, risus means exterminating, fumigation. And there are a number of others that are not, again, so particularly relevant to our situation. We're not necessarily farmers as far as I know, but I'm going to talk about these, as I said, more specifically in a few moments. Now, there's one very important distinction between Malachot Daraita and Malachot Rabbanan that I feel it's important to right away address. I mean, since everything is Asur anyway, so what is the distinction whether a Malacha is forbidden rabbinically, it's forbidden from a Torah perspective? And the answer basically is that the Gemara comments, the Gemara says there's a fundamental distinction between two types of malachot. One is what the Gemara calls abriya ilana, which is designed to improve the karka, to somehow enhance the growth. And the other is called ukme ilana. Ukme ilana means you just want to maintain the integrity of the trees, the integrity of the fruits, and the Gemara distinguishes between the two. Obviously, abriya ilana, we're talking about improving the karka, that's asur, that's not permissible. Ukme ilana, to maintain the integrity of the tree and the fruit, so the halakha is that that is permissible. And we'll see that there's a distinction here in these two between whether malacha is prohibited from the Torah. So if the malacha is prohibited from the Torah, it doesn't make a difference. Even if your intention is to save the tree from any kind of nezek, from any kind of damage, it's asur, it's prohibited, it's interdicted. Masha'enkin, if it's only an isur rabbanan, if it's only rabbinically interdicted, then you're allowed to do certain malachot. We'll see if the intent of the malacha is what the Gemara calls lu'ukme ilana, to maintain the integrity of the tree, to maintain the integrity of the fruits, etc., that you are dealing with. And basically, if you see that the tree is going to be damaged in a significant kind of way, then you're allowed to do rabbinically prohibited malachot. If it's only an isur rabbanan, you're permitted to do it in the course of the Shemitah. However, if the malacha is intended to improve the tree or improve the karka, or enhance it somehow, that's always asur, whether it's an isur rabbanan, isur daraita, it doesn't make a difference, you cannot do so. And if that's the case, I'll just make some general statements first, namely that as far as watering the grass, people have gardens, in order that it should not be damaged, that's permissible. The ideal thing to do, we'll mention it later, is that one should set everything up on a clock, and it should be set up in the course of before Shemitah. We have several days left before Shemitah, before Rosh Hashanah, where that can happen. And also, the Paschim say that the watering should be done with a lesser degree of frequency than is done during the course of the year. But that could be set up on a clock, and it can be set up for the entire year, and there's no problem. Secondly, we're talking about nikush. Nikush means where we're removing weeds, let's say, or bad weeds, or bad grass, whatever you want to call it. If they're going to strangle the grass, they're going to destroy the grass entirely, that would be permissible. In general, nikush, the Paschim tell us to stay away from to the extent that we can, because in most cases, even if the weeds are going to grow, they're not going to destroy the grass. We'll just have grass with a lot of weeds. And as I said, any kind of pruning, which is, again, If it's designed to enhance the growth, it's certainly not permissible. However, if it's designed not to enhance the growth, but to prevent actually nezek, then there's a makom as well, lehakel. And the same thing applies to resus, it applies to fumigation or exterminating, as it's called, in order that you shouldn't have nezek, so that would be permissible. And as far as the question, for example, let's say I want to go ahead and cover peirot with a sakit, with some sort of either a nylon or a plastic, and whether it should not be, nezek should not occur. This is a big machloket among the poskim. I saw Rav Kook. Rav Kook was very machmir, came out across the board. He says it's asur, and the Chazanish, he basically permits that if you want to prevent nezek from occurring to the tree. Now I'm coming, again, I'm speaking about now more specific types of malachot, again, where which are permissible on Shemitah, as long as you're not doing it to enhance the growth of the tree. For example, gizum. Now, gizum basically is where you are, in effect, you want to prune, let's say, trees, you want to prune bushes in order that people should not be able, people should be able to walk, or people should be able to, should not interfere with their ability to walk about, or let's say you want to prevent, there are chutei chashmal, there are electric wires that are somehow protruding and the like, and you want to remove arafim in order to prevent contact with chutei chashmal. All that is permissible because here your intention is not to, not to in any way enhance the age, the growth of the tree. And again, as I said, this is the basic, I'll just give you another example which is also relevant this this year, namely if you want to do gizum anafim l'schach, you want to actually cut down schach, so the poskim say you should do it to a shinui. What's the shinui? L'gzom b'tzad echad, do it only on one side of the tree as opposed to the other side of the tree, and that's permissible because again here the purpose of the gizum is not to enhance the growth, but you simply need schach for your sukkah. Again, when we speak about this principle, chavisha, let's say we're talking about the plowing, where a person digs in the karka for the purpose of biniyah, and then you want to put in a tzaneret, you want to put in pipes, or let's say you have to put in kvishim, so that's permissible in the Shnat HaShemit. Again, you're a mataraz, not chaklait, it's not agricultural nature, that's not your intention, and that's not considered to be a problem. Or for example, a person wants to use a magrifa, and you want to go ahead, and I think it's called a rake, and you want to remove solet from the chatzer, or you want to remove solet for lichluch or avanim, that's permissible. Again, your intention is nikayon, your intention is not to go ahead and do any kind of planting or enhancing of growth, and that's permissible. And for that matter, as I indicated, that a person who wants to go ahead and engage in any kind of ktsira or asifa, even though the Torah says, sadechalo tiktsor, bekamechalo tizmori, not allowed to do any ktsira or any betsira. However, the pasuk also says, vayita shabbat ha'aretz lachem liochla, that we have a contradiction. The Poskim talk a lot about this contradiction. The Torah says that this year is supposed to be a Shabbat lo'achla. If you don't do any ketzira, so how can you eat? So the answer is that if you are going to do it b'kamut gdola, b'tzvachim mischariyim, if it's being done for business purposes, commercial purposes, that's not permissible. However, a person wants to go ahead and engage in katif, l'tzorach, shimush, beito, if it's by hand and he's pulling it off the tree, that's not considered to be a problem. Now, continuing, I'm not discussing the halachot of so much of Erev Shemitah, since we're basically already at Erev Shemitah, and therefore most of those halachot are not really relevant. I want to turn to some of the dinim now that relate to the issue of not so much, as I said, the malachot, but rather I want to talk about just some practical issues regarding some of the things I just mentioned. Namely, let's start with some very, very practical issues we'll mention. The question of, let's say, a person who wants to remove shtilim, saplings that are already planted in the ground, and to basically he wants to remove them, and let's say they're in some atzitz, they're in some sort of a pot, so you're not supposed to remove them in an atzitz and bring them to the garden because of the problem of zoreya. Because I mentioned a moment ago, zoreya is one of these surim that's relevant to Shemitah. And for that matter, it's mentioned by the Poskim also, I saw the Chazanish writes like this, that one should not throw garinei perot, let's say, outside of one window with kibun agina, because that's also a problem, the same issue, the issue of zoreya. Again, if we're talking about, let's say, you want to throw zra'im where people are walking, let's say, in some sort of a path, where clearly it's not, there's no growth taking place over there, and the zera will not be niklat, that's permissible. Chazanish also permits that. But for that matter, let's say you're in a park, and you want to throw garinei perot in an argaz chol. That's what Poskim also mentioned over here. So again, as long as it's not going to be matzmiach, it's a place that's not going to grow, it's also not considered to be a problem. Again, the teva of chol is that It's not going to, there will not be any Zriya over there, and also people trod on the foot that particular area. So again, it's not an area which is used for the purpose of planting. And for that matter, let's say a person is on the beach, b'chol she'b'chof hayam, again, it's not a place for yachol atzmiach, so to throw garinei avatiach, garinei milon, is also not considered to be a problem, as long as, again, the basic principle is more or less the same that we are discussing in all of these cases. And if, let's say, a person wants to go ahead and picks up a, let's say, you pick up the ta'ut, here the Chazanish quotes, you pick up a ta'ut, you pick up, let's say, a cloud of earth, and you pick it up from the ground, so again, you're not supposed to return it to the Ginah because of the Isur Zoreah. All this involves planting on the Shnat HaShemitah, and as I said before, regarding Risus, regarding fumigating or exterminating, the halacha is that one is not permitted, this is an Isur Labanan, L'Rases, Misadil L'Gezah HaIlan. Because here your intention is you want the tree to grow better. If your intention is to improve the growth of the tree, it's not permissible. If, however, a person's intention is to prevent nezek, so then it's permissible under those circumstances. And then just one or two other things that relate to this general issue, which also is, again, part of the same principle that we're speaking about till now. Namely, we spoke about ksira, about harvesting, and we said that ksira is not permissible. However, liktof biyad, and ksira biyad, all the poskim bring this down, that generally ksira is done to a kli. So a person who does it biyad, that's considered to be a shinoi, and therefore that's not a problem. Unless a person, as I said, is going to use some massive machinery, and each type of fruit probably has its own type of shinoi, and for example, they mention that a person who is kotev te'inim, so generally, with teinim, you cut them off using a sakim yuchad, using a special knife. So if you use it biyad, again, the Chazanish writes over here, that's considered to be a shinoi, and you don't have to go and bite it with your teeth and take off the teinim somehow in that kind of fashion. Some sort of a shinoi is sufficient, and that itself would suffice as far as this halacha is concerned. And again, continuing along the lines that I just mentioned, I said that there's an issur of zomer, namely pruning. And again, the machloket actually regarding pruning is only primarily where you have an issue of enhancing the growth of the tree. If your intention is not to enhance the growth of the tree, but rather to prevent nezek from occurring, so then that kind of pruning is permissible. That's the basic rule of thumb. Let's say you have a situation here, the Chazanish talks about it also. You have anafim shenichlasim toch chalon. You have branches that enter the window. You want to cut them down because they're mafriya. They interfere with the shigrat hachayim. So again, that's permissible. That's not considered to be pruning, which is of a forbidden nature. And for that matter, if a person, let's say, is walking and there are anafim shemafriim d'bnei adam b'darkam, he also, the Chazanish writes, that you're allowed to go ahead and remove it, because again, it's not for the purpose of nizakim. Now, somebody asked me today whether I'm allowed to go ahead and to prune trees in order to burn them b'midurat lag b'omer. And I actually went looking to see who discusses that halacha, and I saw the poskim permit that. And again, obviously, the reason for that is because clearly the purpose is not for the purpose of any kind of growth. Let's say someone else asked me whether they go horseback riding, they want to cut off a branch of a tree in order to use as a, what's it called? A whip, thank you. Lakop da behima. I also went looking for that. I found the makom hakel for that also. I thought, to me, it was the davar pasha that's permissible. And again, let's say sometimes a person is walking on the road and he just pulls off alim or whatever is radim from the eights. So that again would not be a violation of the Isra Zomer. The Isra Zomer is only also when a person does it, the Chazik HaTailan. When you do it to enhance the growth of the tree, for any other reason, it's not considered to be an issue, Mivchinat Adin. And again, as I said before, you have other types of situations, let's say children playing on grass and during the Shnat HaShemitah. And of course, there's always certainly a chash that the Desha will be Nitlash, that the grass will be Nitlash. Clearly, that's permissible. They're not mechaving to do anything. I'm talking about they're playing ball, or they're running with their bicycles, etc., on the grass. It's not considered to be a problem because, again, the idea is not that the desha should be, that it should grow as a result of this. And the same thing applies, which I'll talk about a little bit after, but I'll mention it right now while I'm at it. As far as mowing the grass, again, the halacha is that if your intention in mowing isn't somehow to enhance the growth of the grass, that, of course, would be a problem. There's an Issa Rabbanan of Zomer that would be involved over here. Again, there would not be an Issa Ben HaTorah because probably Desha has a status of Ilan Srak. And Ilan Srak, which is a tree that cannot bear fruit, is only Isla Rabbanan. But generally, most people mow, as far as I know, they mow in order that the grass should appear nice and presentable, etc. It should be aesthetic, and that's not a problem, again, as far as Shemitah is concerned. But certainly, one should not be Okeri Lanot, one should not uproot trees in order to Lahakshir Takarka for the eighth year. That would not be permissible. And so more or less what I told you till now, the basic kolim, there are many pratim here, but the basic kolim basically are what I mentioned. And I just want to mention one or two things regarding the issue of chavisha, of plowing, which of course is not permissible, but it's not the Shemitah. The question whether it's an Issa Daraita, Issa Dabanan, that's a big machloket among the poskim. But certainly to go ahead, let's say, turn the ground, sometimes people take shovels, they want the ground to somehow to air out, and so they go ahead and they shovel in the ground in order to turn the earth over. That's not permissible. That's considered to be a toladav choresh. And for that matter, let's say you have a guma. I see here in the Sefer Mishpatei Eretz, he talks about this. If I have a hole that develops in the gina, b'shnat haShemitah, you're not supposed to fill it with afar, because one of the avodot of adamah is the asheret hakarka. If you want to straighten the ground before the chavisha and zriyah, if your intention is that you will fill in the ground so no one should fall, no one should stumble, that's certainly permissible. That obviously is not, there's no intention there that it should grow. And for that matter, again, if you go ahead and use what's called chatzatz, and your intention is putting chatzatz in the ground in order la'avrer et adama, means if you did it la'avrer et adama, so then you shouldn't do it. If you do it, however, for the purpose that it should not die, then it's considered to be permissible. Then it's mutar. Again, the kolim are basically the same kind of kolim. You also have a situation I saw discussed also in Mishpatei Eretz. He talks about silat kvishim. Talks about you plowing the ground in order that you should be able to, you want to pave a road, a midracha, some sort of a kvish. That's certainly permissible. There's no issur of choresh because of the same reasons I mentioned a moment ago. And other such situations where, let's say, children want to play with marbles, mischak gulot, liladim. Again, it seems to me that should be permissible. There's no issur of choresh, even though there might be chafirat guma. But chafirat guma is a tzorach mischak. It's not for the purpose of chavisha, and that should not be a problem. When it comes to, let's say, a person wants to remove stones in the garden, that already is a problem, a rabbinic problem, and that there's a Rambam about that. The Rambam Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel paskins that asur l'sakel avanim b'shnat haShemitah, Yehovah and Issa d'Rabbanan. And however, if you want to build a gader, you want to build a fence, and you want to use stones in order to build a fence, there's no Issa m'sakel, because it's clear, again, your interest is l'tzorach binyan. You want to build a gader, and that's what your interest is. And the same would apply as well to Nikayon Gina, as I mentioned before. And again, continuing on our merry way, as far as all the other melachot that I mentioned, with some melachot zivul, about fertilizing a field, b'shnat haShemitah, again, that's asur, there's an issur of zivul. However, again, if your intention is that otherwise the tzmachim are going to sustain a major loss, there'll be a nezek, then it will be permissible under those circumstances. Actually, the Mishnayot, right in Masechet Shriyot, speak about taking animals and bringing them into your field in order that there should be zevel, in order there should be fertilizing that will take place, and that's asur, the Mishnah writes, unless you have no other place to put the animals. The only place you have to put them is in your backyard. Then you'd be allowed to go ahead and do so. But then you have an issur d'rabanan of dishun b'shnat haShemitah, unless there will be a kilkul in the tzvachim, unless there will be a problem as far as the tzvachim are concerned. I just want to mention once again, as far as the issur of hashkaya, which I spoke about a few moments ago, as far as irrigating or as far as watering, the best thing to do is, as I said, and now all the poskim can bring this down, l'chaven et ha'mamtarot ha'idei sh'on mayim v'er shriyit, and this way, once it's on the clock, you don't have a problem. Even though this itself was also the subject of an interesting machloket, then there are a number of byproducts of this issue of hashkaya. I'll just give you a few examples that the poskim I saw discuss. One is, for example, you hang out laundry to dry, and obviously the water is now going to drip into the gina. It's dvar shutim that it's mutar lechatchila ein darach hashkaya bekach. You have no kavana. That's your intention is not to water the ground. The same thing applies. I saw the poskim again tumult on this issue as well. Whether you're allowed to go ahead and you have a mazgan, and the mazgan, of course, the water is dripping outside into the gina, and you're happy about it. So this is a big machloket poskim, but it's clear to me, Misha Mekel, Yesh Lo Mi L'Smoch, that certainly you could be, for the same reason that I mentioned a moment ago, if you're doing a one-day sponger, and so then the question is, can I take the water out of my house and put it into the gina? Again, the same issue. And here, it seems, again, there's a big machloket poskim. Come out for every issue, there's some of this machmir. Don't worry. If you're looking for chumrot, there's no problem finding them. And the best thing to do, probably, it seems to me, is la'arev et hamayim bechomer shemazik l'tzmachim. So you put detergent there, or you put some sort of cleanser, whatever it may be, so then certainly you will not have a problem removing it from the gina. And the same issue, can I go and wash my hands b'kiyor, where the tzinor hamayim is mechuvan l'gina, and the water goes into the gina. So I saw the Chazon Ish is machmir on this particular matter. The question is, how is it different than the other situations I described earlier? Okay, it needs more discussion, which I'm not going to do right now. I'm just saying that, can I wash my hands in the gina? Let's say I decide to eat outside and I want to wash my hands, where I'm not mechaving, but here it could be the water may bring it to el of the tzvachim. So that's what you have to figure out, whether this is to el of the tzvachim or not. And for that matter, the Paskin bring, and this is relevant to this year as well, during the Shnat HaShmitah, to make a sukkah on the desha, there's no problem. You don't have to go ahead and cover the karkait and cover the ground, anything of that sort, because there's a chash, maybe water is going to spill, and somebody could irrigate the ground. In all these cases, as I said, it's clear that ein derech hashpeah b'kach, and you're not mechaving actually, that it should, the growth should be enhanced, and therefore any of this, it seems to me, should be permissible without any problem. Let me just mention again, in this vein, one or two other, someone asked me actually, can they go ahead and spit? Can they expectorate on the gina? So again, I went, had to go crazy to look for this particular question. I thought there's not even a suffix. Of course it's mutah. I told him it's mutah l'chatchila. Told him on the spot. And he said, why? So I said, because clearly, as far as I know, people don't do irrigation by expectorating. And I didn't see that it's a problem at all. It should certainly be permissible. And again, more or less, I'm just telling you general klalim, and each particular issue has to be looked into. Maybe I'll just mention, regarding the issue that I spoke about before, about l'ukme u'lavruye, namely, if a tree is not going to receive water in this Shnat HaShmitah, so if it will die, or even there's a suffix that it might be damaged, there's no question, mutar l'ashgoto, then you're certainly allowed to give it water. And there's even the Chazon Ish talks about again the following issue, means a tree that if you don't give it water, you don't irrigate it, it's not going to die. However, rov gidul haperot are going to be affected. So then mutar l'ashgoto, that's how the Chazon Ish paskens very clearly. And then there are all kinds of variations. Someone asked me this question, and also I went looking for it. I found the Yerushalmi. It says in Yerushalmi, "Ein litlot al ha'ilan shtar sigula, kidei sha'ilan yaseh perot." Wow. It says, you're not allowed to put a shtar sigula on a tree in order that the ilan will produce fruit. Unbelievable. It's mentioned by the Yerushalmi, Ishtar Skula. So that's awesome. To do on, that's the Yerushalmi, the Poskim, I saw bring this halacha. But there's another din, since we're getting into the Kabbalistic realm already. It says that Mutar Litzua Ilan Bitzaba Adom. Kisiman Likach Sheperotav Noshrim. Why? So the Rambam says, Kedeshi Palu Alav Haroim Oto. All those that see that the tree is beginning to wither, the fruit is beginning to disintegrate, they'll be mispalel for your tree. Okay, more or less, these are basic halakha. Let me just mention one or two other things also in this vein about ishun yilanot, limnoa harakim. Again, the halakha is that there's an iser of being mashen yilan b'shnat ha-shmitah. However, again, if it's going to create hefsed to the peyot, that's permissible as well, to be monea hefsed. And that's the basic rule of thumb. There's mentioned, for example, the Rambam writes here, can I go ahead and cover the sharashay ilan bi'afar? I want to dump afar around the ilan, because the fear is that the sharashay ha'etz are migule, and as a result, it can cause hefsed to the tree. Again, the Rambam paskins, mutal chasot no time, or for that matter, can I go ahead and, let's say I have a tree that is not growing straight, so I want to go ahead and attach a makel to it in order to go straight. That's asur. That's not permissible, because here my interest is clearly not le'ukme but le'avruye. However, if the H is going to be in any way affected, will be damaged, then certainly mutal kosher the makel, then you'd be allowed to attach it with a stick, because here your intention is to maintain the integrity of the tree. So again, anything which is done to more or less maintain the integrity is permissible, and otherwise it's not considered to be permissible. Okay, now I'm turning to the issue of the garden a little bit, and there are two, I guess I should mention, with reference to the issue of that which grows. So we know that among the There are two types of, if you will, two types of gidul. There's something called matzah menutak, that which grows basically in a chamama, or they call that in a greenhouse. Matzah menutak, which we'll speak about in a few minutes, and then there's gidul babayit. That means matzah menutak means it doesn't grow directly from the ground. It grows in an atzit, sheino nakuv. It grows in a flower pot, doesn't have a perforation on the bottom. It grows on some sort of a mishtach, on some sort of a base that actually separates it from the ground, or you have gidul emayim, hydroponic type of growth. So here the Chazal said that there's an iser of growing matzah menutak, which is tachat kipat hashamayim, which is actually something that grows outside. I'll talk about the specifics in a moment. As far as gidul babayit, so I want to mention the pasuk says the shaftahar et shabbat Hashem sadecha lo tizra. The question is, what about tachat agag, something that is sown under a roof? Let's say in the chamama, is that called avodah besadeh? This is a big topic among the Chazal, and the halacha l'maaseh, as I said, that if it's a melacha that's asur min haTorah, or it's a suffix whether it's asur min haTorah, you can't do it even in the house or in the chamama. And this I mentioned earlier. So now I want to talk about some specifics regarding this particular matter. Let's start with the atzitz b'toch habayit. I'm talking about a flower pot inside the house. So I said that there is an isur being megadel adama b'toch habayit, or even outside on a matzah menutak. And these are the rabbanans, of course. These are rabbinically forbidden. However, the way to be matir, and there are a number of tzna'im in order to be matir, the gidul. Number one, the tzvachim that which I'm trying to grow should be in an atzitz. Of course, if it's an atzitz she'eino nakuv, there's no preparation at the bottom, it's mutar. Or atzitz atum means underneath it is actually there's some sort of a base, some sort of a mishtach. If it's not atum, namely there's a magnekev in the atzitz, so what you should do is you simply put something on the bottom of it, which is an atzitz, the tenach min adama, which basically separates the plant from the ground. And it should be sufficiently wide, the matzah, that the tzmachim should not actually protrude outside. And the fact of the matter is that it should also be something which you can actually carry. Because otherwise, if it's so heavy, something which is so weighty, it's considered to be a tree. It's considered to be karka. It's not considered to be natzitz, al-pi halacha. And therefore, you have basically three factors that are really critical here. One factor, in order that the atzitz should not be considered to be subject to isurei shviit, one is that it's minutak from the karka, it's not connected to the ground. Two is, which means that most atzitzin, generally the ones that I've seen, are nikuvim. Most of them have the perforations on the bottom, and therefore you put it on some sort of mishtach, you put it on some sort of a base, whether it's on nylon, or on shayish, or on some other kind of base. Secondly, the second tanai is the godel atzitz. Because I said if it's more than, depends, I saw a different shiurim mentioned by the poskim, but it's a nefach, it's larger than 330 liters, it's not called an atzitz, it's considered to be karka, it's considered to be ground, and thirdly, that it really should be in the house. And again, halakha l'maaseh, if you have all these three tanaim that I just mentioned, number one, it's not nakuv, it's not gadol midai, and number three, it's in the house, there's no problem as far as dinei shviit is concerned. You can do all the melachot that are asur in shmita. There's no kedusha shviit. There's chal in these gidulim. Again, one should not sow zorea or shotel. That one should not do, because some say that heter is only l'sarach panasa. In a bayit prati, one should not be mekel. Again, as I said, if I have an atzitz makuf, that is, let's say, on the floor of my house, there's no question that there's a yesh makom lakel, there's a din of atzitz sheino nakuv. But if it doesn't have all these tnayim that I just mentioned a moment ago, namely the three that I mentioned, so then of course it will be subject to the dinim of Yisrael Shviit. In general, the poskim say you should not take out nishmita and atzitz from the house and take it out of the house into the yard, or take it out into the open sunlight, because if your intention is that you want to enhance the tzmicha, you want to enhance its growth by taking it, moving it from the house to outside, so then of course that it would be asur. If however my intention is lefanot makom, I need the place in the house, or letzarach nikayon, then certainly it would be permissible to take it outside. Your intention is not to enhance the growth by any means. And again, one should not take an atzitz from its place, the plow pot from its place, and put it al gabi karka. That also is considered to be problematic. And while I'm at it, I'll mention actually a few other elements that are relevant also to this question of atzitz. If I have, often you have actually an atzitz which is munach al gabi tedot, so that already is certainly an isur min haTorah. I mean, it's standing on a tripod or standing on legs, that's already you have a problem, an isur min haTorah, an isur of zoreah. And in effect, you sometimes have, let's say, you plant a tree in a kind of, I see the Chazon Ishia discusses this also, you plant a tree in an atzitz sheino nakuv, which is in a garden. Because I have in my garden, I have an atzitz sheino nakuv, but the atzitz is made of cheres. So we assume that cheres is that which absorbs. That's what the pus can bring. It's like a person is zorea batzitz nakuv, and you're over an isur min haTorah. But as I said, in atzitz sheino nakuv, if you have the chomerim, let's say that consist, that constitute the atzitz are, whether it's shayish or barzel or pach or stuchit, any of the above, you're only over on Yisrael Rabbanan, because the Yisrael of Zoreh in HaTorah is only karka olam, only natural earth, and not something which is mutak min hakarka, and therefore you're only over at Yisrael Rabbanan. As I mentioned, the basic distinction that I'm drawing is between that which is yonik from the ground and that which is not yonik from the ground. There are poskim or even machmir in a person's home, and it's 20 floors above. And there's yinika. I don't exactly understand how the yinika works. Someone told me the other day that it's not based on the science of botany. It has its own methodology. Okay, I cannot respond to that one way or the other. Whatever the case is, there is a, in the case of atzitzim babayit, that's the issue which the Yerushalmi, Masechet Orla, which all the poskim talk about this Yerushalmi, where is the Isur of Zriah dafke b'sadeh, since the pasuk says sadecha lo tizra, or since it says b'shafar et shabbat Hashem, bayit is b'chol eretz. The house is included in the pasuk b'shafar eretz. And this is something of a famous machloket between the Pata Shulchan and other poskim. The Pata Shulchan contends that since Shriah today is Rabbanan, Shemitah is only rabbinic, so therefore, Savit Rabbanon Kula ain't shum isur zriyah babayit. There's no isur of sowing in a person's home, and therefore, other melachot are also permissible. However, the Chazanish is machmir. He says you don't apply the principle of Savit Rabbanon Kula, since the basic isur zriyah is of Torah origin. Therefore, you should be machmir lo zriyah babayit. That seems to be the general practice. But as I said, the halacha, as I pointed out already before, that if I go ahead and I want to be zoreya in my house, in an atzitz nakuv, I have a flower pot that is perforated, there's going to be yinika mikaka olam, and I have the chomerim I mentioned earlier, lein mishayish pach shulchit, adayin yesh makom lakel v'fi pata shulchan. There's a place to be mekel, and there's a makom lakel, the chazanish is machmir, but there is a makom lakel, and again, just in reference to this particular issue, if the atzitz is eno nakuv babayit, so then clearly yesh makom lakel. I also mentioned as well that if I have a matzit sheino nakuv mutal hashkoto, you're allowed to go ahead and water it without a problem, and there you can also even lavruye is permissible. You don't have to go ahead and see whether it's going to die or not going to die. That's only if it's a matzit sheino nakuv. It means it doesn't have a preparation on the bottom. There's no yinika. If however there is yinika, it's nakuv, then you have to take a look to see how much water it needs in order that it shouldn't die along those lines. The same thing applies to zmira in a natzitz, sheino nakuv. If I have a natzitz that has no preparation on the bottom, so here we're talking about zmira, to prune it. You'd be allowed to prune it. Masha'enken, if it's a natzitz nakuv, again, according to the Pata Shulchan, you'd be allowed to prune it as well. According to the Chazanish, yesh makom lachmir. Just want to mention a question someone asked me today. If I have flowers that left the water, they were in a vase with water, and now can I put them back? The answer is you can, because your interest is not lizroa. Your interest is not to sow. You don't want the flowers necessarily. You simply want to maintain its freshness, its vitality, and that it shouldn't fade, it shouldn't wither. That's permissible. And therefore, that would not be considered to be a problem. Okay, I more or less have discussed, again, some of the halachot that relate to tipul, beginat noi, or if you will, issues with atzitzim, and I think that Rolf and Kali, I did discuss that particular matter. Now I want to talk about issues that relate to the question of Perot Shvi'it, which of course we know that Perot Shvi'it have a Kedusha. I mentioned before, according to the Ramban, at least according to one opinion, the Ramban is the mitzvah and atzara to eat Perot Shvi'it. As I said, there are different opinions of what the Pshat and the Ramban is, at least four or five different positions on the position of the Ramban, but one thing is very clear. There are a number of Isurim that apply to Perot Shvi'it that we have to be very cognizant of. That Chazal are now, number one, Lo'achla, below the Schara, you can't do business with Perot Shvi'it. Lo'achla, below the Hefzid, you can't be Master Perot Shvi'it, and that's what I'm going to talk about, that particular issue. The Mishnah writes here, in Masechet Shvi'it, that the Shimush with Perot Shvi'it is only B'derech HaShimush HaRegila Lo'oto Pri. That which is normally accustomed to be eaten, mutar le'achol. That which is normally accustomed to be to drink, mutar le'shtot. That which is accustomed to be used for the purpose of sicha, of anointing, mutar b'shimush sel sicha. That which is used for hadlaka, is mutar b'shemush shel sreifa. That which is used for tzviya, for dying, afshal letzua bo. However, if I use peyot shviyit b'shemush sheinam u'yad lo, I use peyot shviyit, a shemush that is not its purpose, that's called being matzid the pri, v'asur lahasid peyot shviyit. And I'm going to talk about this issue, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to give some very practical examples, even though here there's certainly a makom to, I guess, probably even debate some of the issues. But again, just to review the basic issues, there's an isur schora. You can't do business with peyot shviyit. You can't sell or buy peyot shviyit. That's lo achla below the schora. You can't destroy peyot shviyit. Lo achla below the hesed. And you have to use them be'ofen amikubal, in the way that is normally accepted. You also, by the way, cannot take out peyot shviyit and to sell the chutzlaretz. And there's also going to be, again, an issue of biur that I'll speak about, hopefully, a bit later. Let me just now talk about this specific issue and give a number of practical examples that relate to this question of shimush b'peirot shviyit. Let's say if I have, I'm following a lot that which is found in the Chazon Ish. I tried to learn the entire Chazon Ish on Inyanei Shviyit in the last year, and discovered there are a lot of unbelievable kulot that are really kedai to be aware of. If I have, let's say, peirot b'yirakot, that have to shat shviyit, and normally they're eaten raw. For example, melafonim that are eaten raw, or let's say a clementino. So the din is ein lo chlam bebushalim. You cannot cook them, because by cooking them, in effect, what you're doing is you're being mafsid the pri. And again, the question is, what is the regilut? How is it normally eaten? That's what you have to try to figure out. In some cases, it's not so clear to me. I'll just give you another example. Let's say something that's normally eaten bebushal. It has to shat shviyit. Let's say tabuchei adama, potatoes, or chabushim. So the din is ein lo chlam chayim. You can't eat them raw. If you eat them raw, you're being mafsid peirot and having them to shat shviyit. Now, it works both ways, in both directions. Or for that matter, if I have peirot b'irakot, shein darach l'raskam. They're not normally pureed, they're not normally diced. So the halacha is that ein l'rasek, you're not allowed to dice them b'shnat ha-shmita. Even if you're going to eat the psolet, that, shall we say, the remains from the risuk, from the dicing, ein l'rasek, you shouldn't dice them. What examples, the examples that are given in the poskim, again, as I said, the Chazon Ish, this is the Chazon Ish all the way. I'll give you one example of the Chazon Ish, which I did not fully understand. The Chazon Ish writes over here that ein l'schot gezer, akadosh b'kdushat shviyit. He says you're not allowed to go ahead and squeeze or dice, puree carrots, and to make mitzvah out of it. Even if you eat the psalt hanishar, and it seems to me, and I discussed it with Rabbi Sol Shlita, and he told me, yesh makom bakel, haban l'shim sochatim gezer, carrot juice is apparently very healthy and very popular, so that is not in agreement with the position of the Chazon Ish. You have to try to figure out what the derech of using this pri is in the ideal way, and if you use it any other way, that's considered to be mimasid perot shviyit. Again, the examples that are given by the poskim are afar simonim, or let's say kiwi, or clementinos, clementinos, depending where you come from, and azel rasekotam. So apparently they should not be diced. Someone here in the shul pronounced it clementinos. That's why I changed my pronunciation. And they tell me their pronunciation is the correct one. Let me talk about an issue that someone asked me about yesterday. A very fascinating issue. If you have a grater, a pumpia, and now as a result you have obviously machal shenishar ala pumpia. So the question is, what must I do? Can I wash it off? Because there are chatichot tanot that are remained on the pumpia and the grater, and because of the grating, again, we don't have to go ahead and, shall we say, go crazy. That's for sure. And the post can bring down that you remove some of the major pieces, b'midata eshar, whatever can be removed, and the rest, as far as that's concerned, eshar l'shtofota, you can actually go ahead and wash it, even though you still have chatichot tanot, going to go to ibud, because that is the derech hashimush haragil. The way you normally would operate, that's the way you should operate during the Shnat HaShmita. Again, if you normally sochet peirot v'irakot, let's say tapuzim, so certainly you're allowed to do so, the Shnat HaShmita, without a problem. I want to talk about something which is very fascinating. I saw, this is based on a Rambam, I saw also the Poskim discuss this, namely if I have yirakot that have to shat shviyit, let's say I cooked them in soup. Let's say I cook chicken soup and I put all kinds of vegetables, as is the wont to do. So then, what's the din? The din is that on this marak and on the off, they now have a din of tushat shviyit. the entire, shall we say, soup pot is considered to have kedushat shviyit. This is mashma from the Rambam, actually. And just give another example, which would be more halacha l'maaseh. If I have, let's say, potatoes, and a person decides to cook potatoes in water, so the water does not have kedushat shviyit. Why? Because normally people are not going to drink this water, as far as I know. They're going to throw it out, and therefore that's not considered to have kedushat shviyit. It means the distinction between this case and the previous case I mentioned is fairly obvious. When I'm making chicken soup, and there's water there, and there's vegetables, certainly that person is going to use that. Masha'en kein here, you're not going to use the water, and therefore it has, does not have kedushat shviyit. You have sometimes, someone asked me 2 days ago about mei selek, which I think is called in English, borscht. So they asked me, they like borscht. And so if I have selek shenishlak b'mayim, they ask me, what's the din of such borscht? So I thought that people generally drink borscht. Matter of fact, I happen to like borscht very much. I only have it usually on Pesach. But it seems to me that the water should have kedushat shviyit. There you certainly, I would say, kedushat shviyit should be relevant. And another example, I actually went looking for a number of examples. Let's say if I have atzamot, shesh ben tam yuakot, bones that absorb the tam of yuakot, the vegetables that have kedushat shviyit. So if normally you, let's say, suck them, some people like to suck, they put bones in the cholent, and they like to suck them. So then you would have a problem. Then in Labir is atzamot, you'd not be allowed to destroy the atzamot. If, however, the atzamot that you normally throw them out, it seems to me that they would not have a kedushat shviyit. Again, a lot of this I do not see explicitly, but I'm, if you're going to ask me a specific question, I'm going to have to start looking in all these forum that I have to see if they discuss this specific issue. But more or less, I'm relating to the general principle. And I want to mention also, this is important, because many people have all types of the behemoth and the like. So the halacha is that if I have a pri or a yerek that's kadosh b'kishat shviyit, that's ra'i l'machal adam, it cannot be given to a behemah. Asur la'achil l'behemah b'shnat ha'shmita peirot v'irakot ha'kadoshim b'kishat shviyit. If it's ra'i l'machal adam, it cannot be given to an animal. It may be relevant to cats and to dogs and the like, because you're being masid the peirot, you're being masid the irakot. Again, the machal behemah is considered to be a lower madrega than machal adam. That's very clear from the Sefer, from the Rambam. All the posts can bring this very, this halakha is brought very, very clearly. And for that matter, I mean, if you have an animal on its own that decides to eat yirakot, shemukhubal karka, that's attached to the ground, so that you don't have to prevent them from doing so. So the Rambam quotes that also, because the pasuk says, v'levem techa, v'lachaya asher ba'atzecha, tiyeh kol tuata le'echol. And again, so this is an issue that one has to be very cognizant of. You have to know what is machal adam, what is machal beima, and be extremely careful that which is machal adam should not be given to a to an animal. Again, also you should not go ahead and take machal adam because you want to give it to your animal, to your cat, to your dog, whatever it may be, and you want, you're going to be mafsid it. Means you go ahead and sort of mush it, or shall we say desiccate it, or pulverize it, do whatever you want. Even now it's going to be worth the machal beima, but you've taken something which is the machal adam, and you're being mafsid, you're causing it to, in effect, to lower in terms of its level. If it's nifsad me'ilav, v'adayin ro'il machal beima, then there's no question, it has to do shat shviyit, like any machal ro'il beima, has to do shat shviyit, but then it's not a problem. I'm talking about where the chafkilu, you go ahead and take a machal adam, and bring it to, how should we say, to ruination, or whatever it may be, in order that it should become machal beima. That's not permissible. And while I'm at it, I should mention also, another one of the drashot of Chazal is lo'ochla v'lo refuah. The din is that I cannot go ahead and take peirot shviyit and use it for some sort of trufa, to make a poultice, a retiyah, a tachmoshet. That's not permissible, even for a human being, because it says lo'ochla v'lo refuah. And here's where you have a lot of discussion among the poskim. Sometimes people will take the, someone asked me about this a week ago, to take the chalav te'ina and use it to have a yabelot on their hand. So therefore, since it's not really ro'il achila b'fnei atzmo, so can I use it for that purpose? And then he explained to me that he is someone who's very into non-conventional medicine and all that. And so it seems that if it's not ro'il achila b'fnei atzmo, probably it has no kedushat shviyit. And probably then it would not be a problem. But again, people, someone else told me, they whenever they have some sort of a ke'ev baguf, what they do is they take a kruv, they take a cabbage. And when you come to the Middle East, you're introduced to a lot of very fascinating things. Again, I'm not a doctor, so perhaps I have no right to comment on this, but they told me they take a kruv, they take a cabbage, and put it on the mekom ke'ev baguf. It seems to me that that is not permissible. Again, I went looking, didn't find that specific example, but it's clear to me that's not permissible because that, I don't believe, is the Shemush HaRagil Shel Akruv. I don't think people use it for that purpose, as far as I know. And you're being mastered in Mechilat Adam. Again, it fits in the same principle that I just mentioned earlier. Again, to go ahead and, let's say, Klipot, the Garinei Perot, that's another issue. If I have shells, or I have the Garin, or the Perot, so we assume that there's no Kedusha Shriyat Chalamem. The reason is because it's not Roi L'Achila, and the cloud that the post can bring, it has to be Hana'atan, U'Biuran Shaveh. And therefore you can throw it into the Pach, unless it has, unless it's Roi L'Machal Be'ima. That's also Mashra from the Rambam over here. If it's Roi L'Machal Be'ima, then Yesh Be'em Kedusha. By the way, to give a Goy, Perot Shriyat is Asur, I should mention that, unless a Goy, the Rambam says, is Mitarech Etzlecha, unless he's a guest in your home. But stop to give a goy perot shriyat is also not permissible. I'll mention while I'm at it also, let's say tablinim. If I have spices that grew in the Shemitah year, and a person puts them into the food, so if the food item absorbs the tam of the tablin, so then the halacha is that the tablin affects and the entire food item, and therefore there has to shat shriyat on that particular ma'achal. And the poskim also discuss, I saw this also spoken about, garinei mishmish. Can children play with garinei pre-mishmish, which has kedushat shviit? So the poskim say yes, because we assume that these garinim are not baruch l'machal adam, not baruch l'machal beima, and therefore it has no kedushat shviit. I think what some people do is that they break the garinim, and they remove the shaked and the garinim, so then I would say again, it has no kedushat shviit. Now while I'm at it, I should mention that some people actually use vinegar, or they use, let's say, lemon, and they'll use it to go ahead and clean different chapatzim they have in their house. So that's also asur. That's hefsid. You're being mafsid the lemon, you're being mafsid the chometz, and therefore that's not considered to be permissible. Someone showed me, the Shomer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, has a very fascinating psak that he writes, that he says, if I have desha, and I want to walk on the desha, and I have shoes that are beluchlach bebotz, my shoes are full of mud. So he says you should not walk with such shoes. Al gabe desha ha'uil machal be'ima. Why? Because since it's ha'uil machal be'ima, yesh lo kedushat shviit v'asur lafsido. Unbelievable psak. I mean, it seems that if there are no animals around, that should not be a problem. I went looking further. I saw that he has a further addendum to this, and that's what he writes. And that's what the Chazanish actually writes. That the Chazanish says that Ulo Asal Akel didn't want to be Mako in this particular area. Again, all this is just an example of being Masid Perot Shriyit. However, I should mention that wood, Anafim, Alim have no Kedushat Shriyit. That's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem. Because Ein Hanatan will be Aran Shaveh. You're allowed to be Masid them as long as they don't make any Perot. Someone also mentioned to me, he said they have the custom that they use. They use batzal, they use an onion, and they do, usually before they use the mangal, which they do, they tell me, three times a week, so they use the batzal to clean the reshet. That was a new one to me. And they asked me, if a batzal has kedushat shviit, would they be allowed to do so? Again, the answer is rather obvious. Of course, you cannot do so, because it has kedushat shviit, and even though many people do it, apparently, but it seems that, at least as far as I'm concerned, the main function of batzal is achila. He told me no. The main function of batzal is the mangal. That was a chidush to me. It seems that Dava Pashid, that you shouldn't use it for this particular purpose, and someone else told me as well that they like to roast tomatoes in their mangal. And so the question is that called? I don't think most people do that. Again, it's hard for me to know, is that being Masid Perot Shviit? I wasn't sure. Again, I went looking. I didn't find anyone specifically relating to it. Could be, there's probably a machloket about it. Well, that's called being Masid Perot Shviit, not being Masid Perot Shviit. Someone also told me they use lemon for the purpose of polishing their becher. After a Masorei Shabbos, they polish their becher with lemons. Again, that would be also, because the lemon has to be Shat Shviit, and you're being Masid. I want to mention a few other things while I'm at it in this vein. We won't be able to be Mekayim the Ramah. Those who have wine of Shriyat this year will not be able to be Mekayim the Ramah for Havdalah. Namely, people, the Ramah says, Kol Bayit Shalom Nishbach Yayin Kamayim Enor Siman Bracha, that you cannot do. You can't fill up the coast on Motzei Shabbos of Havdalah, and that it should overflow. You should not do that, especially if you have, not especially, if you have Yayin Shal Shriyat. Secondly, people also are Mechaber Taner. They actually extinguish the candle. The Yain HaNishpach, Mitachtit HaKos, that you should not do with Yain Shel Shvuyit. Thirdly, people put the wine, where do they put the wine? In all kinds of places. But let's say they put it all over the place. They put it Ala Metzach. They put it in their pockets. I just watch what goes on in my family. And so it says that you're supposed to drink the wine. And you have to make sure you drink it. That people are very, very makbid to make sure they drink. And I'll talk about this in 1 second. I just wanted to mention a number of things that are relevant to the course of the year. Oh, let's say, where else is this relevant? Yes, Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder, when you go ahead and when you say the Eser Makot, you say Dam Be'esh V'Tipot Ashan, again, the Tipot are going Li'ibud, since they're going Li'ibud, that Asur. We don't do that in the course of the Pesach Seder, because Asur La'asid Perot Shviit. And again, one of the issues I saw discussed also, this was not so clear to me, let's say if you have a pre, that the derech is not limtzot et apri or l'schot et apri. The derech is not to suck it or to squeeze it. So then it says, in limtzot, you're not supposed to suck such a pri. It means when you're going to suck it and throw away the rest of the pri. Even if, let's say, I keep the klipat apri in the pach shmita that I'll talk about, mitzvah Hashem, but maybe it's ein derech achila b'kach. Unless it's difficult for you to somehow to chew the klipat apri, and he's darko b'kach, then you'll be allowed to eat in this fashion. The question is, what's the derech? It's not so clear to me what the derech is as far as this particular matter is concerned. Let me just mention one or two other things also in this vein. This is also, the Chazanish I saw talks about this. He talks about when you cut peppers that have to shat shri'id. So if you generally cut the section that is the, I guess, where the core is, and but sometimes the chelik of the eruk, which is what ulam achal, remains, misaviv, it remains. So he writes, the Chazanish, that you should put it into a sakit nylon in the pach shmita that I'm going to talk about in Mitzvah Hashem. And while I'm at it, I guess I may as well discuss the issue of washing plates and dishes and the like, where you have remains of the macholei shviit. You have macholei shviit that remain there. So the, again, as I said earlier, and this is very clear in the Chazanish. Chazanish writes that since we're talking about kamuk tana, we're not talking about large amounts of food, we're talking about small amounts of food, shevriot, and people generally don't leave them, so therefore mutar l'ashlicham. But again, if you decide to gather them all, so then there would be kedushat shviyah. So you're allowed to lishtof the kiyora, these salachot that have on it the remains. Again, if it's a person left the entire meal, that's a different story. But where you don't leave the entire meal, again, so then you'd be allowed lishtof to wash and to do away with the shevriot that remain on these plates. By the way, someone asked me, and then someone showed me, in the Sefer Derech HaMunah of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the following very interesting issue. Someone asked me about going to the zoo and leaving shiurei machal in the zoo for the animals, where you have tziporim or zuvim or who knows what, where they might be mekalkel that food. So that's again being massive peyot shviyot. That's also definitely a halachic problem regarding peyot shviyot. And again, we have other such questions. Let's say one of the questions that discusses is shemen shel shviyot. Again, drinking shemen that has to shat shviyot is not permissible. Normally people don't drink shemen. The Gemara Bracha discusses this issue, zuki mazik. People use it in a salad, they use it for other machalim. The question, can I light Nerot Chanukah with shemen that has to shat shviyot? So there are those who say it's asur, because asur l'shtamesh lo ran, that you're not permitted to do so. What about Ner Shabbat, Nerot Bekneset, b'shemesh yesh bo kedushat shviyot? So mutar, that the poskim say is permissible. Here again, I saw in the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses this, since you're allowed to be nene from the light, unless the nerot are asliyim l'chlo bet ha-kneset, if the ner is lower, made for the purpose of light, it's permissible. If it's made simply the kavod, then it would not be permissible. Someone asked me a week ago about lighting a yahrzeit candle, b'shemesh yesh bo kedushat shviyot. That's asur, because b'derech klal ein lo hagim l'shtamesh l'orav. You don't use the light of the yahrzeit lift, and that would not be permissible. What else? Yes, someone also spoke to me about, and I saw this discussed here in this sefer as well, as far as, can I go ahead and smear the baking pan with shemen that has kedushat shviyot? So if my intention is, I want to give tam to the food, that's permissible. If, however, my intention is not l'netinat tam, but rather, I want to prevent the food item from sticking to the plate, or sticking to the tabnit, so that's also, that's not permissible. So again, that's a chazanish also issued that psak. And again, for the purpose of tigun, where a person is frying, you're allowed to use shemen, which is kadosh b'dushat shviyot. Again, we're talking about you throw it away because it's still maybe roi l'shimush nosaf. Someone had asked me about using Shem and Treirit because they have chapped lips or because their hands are dry. So that's permissible because Shemen is Omer L'Sicha, even though I saw there are poskim who are machmir with reference to this matter. The question is whether people do this bizmaneinu onu or not. You have to figure out, do people use Shemen for chap lips and the like? I guess Mishat HaTzchak, maybe they do, but under normal circumstances, I don't think people use it for that kind of purpose. Okay, more or less the general principle, I think basically we have discussed, and now I want to talk about also another area which is quite significant, and that's the question of prachim b'shmita, flowers in the course of the Shemitah year. The basic rule of thumb, again, there's a lot of pratim over here, but the basic rule of thumb that is relevant is that is the following. The Chazanish assumes that there is kedushat shviit b'minei b'samim, in different types of spices. So if I have prachim im reyach, prachim that have a scent to them, S-C-E-N-T, I believe it's still spelled that way. Maybe in England they spell it differently. But prachim im reyach certainly has kedushat shviit. And all the halacha of them to the shviit apply to them. Number one, isur schora, isur la'abed otam b'yadayim, la'asid otam. And you should simply leave them till they are mitkalka by themselves. Again, as I said, the talking about prachim im reyach. And let's say, for example, Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shavuot, when people like, they want to adorn their house with prachim, so it says that asur, you're allowed to cut prachim shematavatam lafitz reyach. Namely, to cut them from, let's say, the ginav your shachem, the ginav your neighbor without permission, because the suffix that has glisha sviya, so unless the baylan will mafki them, unless they made them hefker. But the basic distinction is between prachim imbreyach, or I have prachim that are simply being used for the purpose of noi. They're used for the purpose of beauty, and they have no reach, they have no glisha sviya. Mutal asidam, you don't have to wait till they are mitkalkel, mutal ischor bahem, even though you probably can't do avodata avodamah, that's certainly asur even with those prachim. But the best distinction is between prachim that have reach or prachim that don't have reach. Then the question is, what about prachim in the middle? Namely, prachim that omdim lenoi v'yesh bahem tzat reach. What a tumult in the Paskin, whether it has Kedusha Shviit, doesn't have Kedusha Shviit. I saw, yes, Rav Nevin Solitar, Shlomo Zalman held that Orenbach, that it has no Kedusha Shviit since it's Miu'ad Lenoi. Its primary purpose is for the purpose of beauty, of aesthetics, even though it has some Reach to it, and others actually, Rav Yashiv holds that it has Kedusha Shviit. There's a Machlogan among the Paskin with reference to this matter. But the basic principle is the distinction between prachim that have reach, prachim that don't have reach. I want to turn to the Isra of Svichim. Svichim, of course, is a very significant issue. Svichim, of course, is only relevant to the area to kidneyot. It's relevant to yirakot, relevant to vegetables. It's not relevant to perot. Not relevant to perot. You learn the whole concept of Svichim. The Gemara says that Bizman Chazal, there were many ovei avirah. They used to plant on Shriyat Peseta. They planted secretly, and of course they contended the Tevuah grew by itself. And as a result, Chazal decided to make a takana, besides Perot Ha'ilam, they said whatever Someach B'Shriyat by itself, whether it's Tevuah, whether it's Kitnia, whether it's Yirakot, whether it's Pirchei Noi, Asurim Achilam, whether it's Nizra B'Shriyat, Nizra B'Shishit, it's Machoket HaPoskim, it's Mutar B'Ana'anat, but you have this issue of Svichim means, let's say if I have, if something grew before the 7th year, grew in the 6th year, and it grew, let's say, a shlish, a third of its potential growth, so the Paskim say, even though most of the Gidul, two-thirds of the Gidul took place in the Shat HaShemitah, and one-third took place before, there's no problem with Svichim. The question is, what about Yirakot? And so here's a big Machloket HaPaskim, Machloket the Chazanish, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Chazanish held if they grew a kol shu lifnei HaShemitah, another unbelievable kula of the Chazanish. If they grew even a small amount before the Shemitah year, there's no Yisrael Svichim. Hashem Zalman disagreed with that. He said they have to come to Onat HaMasot in order not to have the Dinah Svichim. And the same thing would apply to Pirchei Noi, flowers that are used primarily for Noi, Sheshem Reach, and they have Gedushat Shviit. The Dinah Svichim is relevant to them. And so now, this is relevant, the whole Dinah Svichim is relevant actually in a number of ways. Maybe we'll make the following statement, we'll make life easier for ourselves. Where is the Isra Svichim not knowing? What Gidulim are not subject to the Isra Svichim? So obviously something which essentially where More or less, it basically grew in the sixth year and continued to grow in the seventh year. That there's no Isur of Svichim. I'm talking about Yirakot and Prachim and Tzmachim, or for that matter, Tzmachim without Reach. If there's no Reach, there's no issue of Svichim. Or for that matter, if I have something which is Miwad Machal Beima, that which is made for animal consumption, there's no Isur of Svichim. And then
the definition
basically is any Tzvua or Yirakot that grew by itself in the seventh year. I think they say it's based on a pasuk in Shmuel, where the language there is, I forgot the language, it says Svacheni, some language like that, means that Gidulim Hanispachim L'Shana Kodemet. It's basically that we're talking about Gargarim or Zraim that fell off in the Asif before and grew by themselves. So they are, Min HaTorah actually, they're Mutar. There's no Isra Svichim Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, Svichim are permissible, and they have to do Shat Shriyit. The Pasuk says, V'aytash Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Ne'achla. Chazal made Gzeira. And you are called the Antua that they offer Ba'achila, minimally. As I said, the question regarding Hana'a, because Chazal were afraid that people who are over Avera are going to sow B'Shnat HaShemitah. And they'll say that these you are called the Antua really came from Zra'im that fell in the harvest of the previous year. That's what Chazal were concerned with, and they grew by themselves, and therefore they were goes there not to eat from Yerakot in the seventh year. As I said, the Easter is only relevant to Yerakot or to Tzua. It has no relevance to Perot whatsoever, because there's no shash that a person is going to plant the tree in the Shemitah year. That's the assumption. And one will not violate that particular Easter. Anyway, so you have the issue of Svichim, which is a relevant issue, and I guess I should mention, I don't think I mentioned it before, I guess I should mention it now. The deal is that with reference to Svichim, if I have, and I guess I should mention this because I didn't speak about it bichlal, you have a very famous machloket between the Beit Yosef and the Mabit. There are a number of famous machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit that are relevant to the Shnat HaShemitah. One is probably the most famous, namely those who sell Eretz Yisrael to a goy and use the Hetem Mechira. So then the question is, what's the status of that produce? I mean, does it have to be Shat Shriyit? This is a big machlokes between, they say, Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, through the machlokes between the Beit Yosef and the Mabit, Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Mabit, and the Chazanish was Machmir, so you're not gaining much, so to speak, by relying on the Hetem Mechira. You still have to observe all the dinim of Kedushat Shriyit regarding those particular items. And the Minig Yerushalayim, as I understand from Rabbi Evansol, is Lahakel, that they're not considered to have Kedushat Shriyit, even though Rabbi Yashir says that those who are Bnei Torah should be Machmir for the position of the Chazanish in Bnei Brak. That's one famous machlokes. The second famous machlokes regarding what the Torah says that you're obligated lahafkir et ha'yavul hakadosh v'kedushat shriyit. Then you have to make the anyone who owns property in Eretz Yisrael has to be mafkir any yavul, any produce that's kadosh v'kedushat shriyit. And the question is exactly how does this hefker occur? Is it actually a proactive, shall we say, type of measure? Or is, if you will, it's what the Gemara calls Avkata de Malkata. It's something that occurs naturally. It occurs by itself. Well, no, it requires an active hefker. Namely, you have to either verbally be mafkirit in front of several people, or no, it's something which occurs, as I said, automatically. And the reason why this is relevant is because there's a din in the Shemitah year. Again, this is a very significant din, and I haven't really discussed it yet, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit. That is the issue of what's called Shamur v'ne'avad. I mean, the din is that the Torah says that the Shemitah year, everything has to be hefker. As I said, there's only a machloged whether I have to go ahead and be mafkirit verbally or actively, some sort of proactive type of measure on my part, and be mafkirit, or that's not necessary. We assume automatically it's hefker by itself. But the din is that a person is not supposed to go ahead and, shall we say, enclose his property with a fence and the like, because then you have a situation which is called shamur. Shamur means you basically have done the opposite of being mafkir. Instead of being mafkir your property, what you've done is you've made it shamur. It's now guarded. And the sadesh and ishmar, this is a violation in the course of the Shemitah year. Unless a person actually, the reason why he puts a fence around his property, because otherwise there are marauders or there are people who are going to cause harm to his property, or something along those lines, then certainly this din would not be necessarily relevant. But the halacha is that, and there are different approaches that people have to this particular matter. It means some people put up a shelet, and it says in the shelet hefker, and anyone is allowed to come into the property, even though some poskim say you don't have to, shall we say, let it be hefker 24 hours. You can say it's hefker from the hours of 2 to 4, or something along those lines. You're not necessarily mechuyev to go ahead and be mafkuit to the point where people can come in your property and Rachmanu Litzlan do all kinds of damage. That certainly you can prevent, because only the peret hefker, not the sadeh, not the hitzim, is not considered to be hefker. And for that matter, if there are bali chayim are going to come to your property, gamkin mutar ligdor. You're also allowed to go ahead and fence it in order to prevent that from happening. But in general, the idea is that the parrot should be hefker, and that is, as I said, only machloket how you go about creating that kind of hefker. Now, we mentioned already a number of times that among the dvachim that are going to be used by many people who are using otzah haaretz, one of the dvachim that's going to be used is otzah bezdin. And I hope, Mitzvah Hashem, that will, shall we say, function this year in an ideal kind of way. And basically what happens with Otzar Bezdin is that it's based on a Tosefta. And I'm not going to read the entire Tosefta, but essentially this Tosefta, I believe, was discovered after 2,000 years. I guess it was discovered when it became relevant in the Shnat HaShemitah. And what happens is that the people who own the fields, the farmers who own the fields, become, if you will, the ones who work the field, and they're working it on behalf of Bezdin, and therefore you're paying them for their work, for the Avodah that they're doing in the fields, as opposed to paying for the Perot. And that's one derech which is going to be utilized. Maybe I'll just mention that after, for a few moments, because we've spoken about this already a number of times, namely what exactly we're going to eat in the course of the year, whether it will be food from the sixth year, whether it will be Otzer Bezdin, will it be from Drom Arava? Will it be from Matzah Menutak? Will it be from Chamamot? And then again, the issue of the those who use the Hetter Mechira, I personally don't plan on using the Hetter Mechira. My Rebbe was opposed to the Rav Soloveitchik. He spoke about it a number of times. But again, someone pointed out to me right before, what's going to be perhaps in the beginning of the 8th year or maybe even the end of the 7th year where there won't be enough food left, so to speak, then the question is what to do under those circumstances. And I guess hopefully Mashiach will come before then. But the okay, that's an issue that is up for discussion. And yesh panim l'kan l'kan, I should mention, because someone here wants me to mention it very much and feels strongly that I should discuss this, and I guess I should. There is a psak of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he brought it to me. Psak of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and this is relevant for those who are not somich on the Hetter Mechira, and they're invited to someone who is somich on the Hetter Mechira. So the question is, can they eat there? So I'll just read you a language, both the language of the Chazon Ish, who actually addressed this issue. The Chazon Ish was opposed to the Hetter Mechira. That was the Chumra that the Chazon Ish had. That's his only Chumra. The only Chumra that I saw in the entire Chazon Ish is opposition to the Hetter Mechira. Everything else he was meikel. And he writes, with reference to this matter, he says, V'otam shemochim al yedei atzvam, af she'ovrim b'zeh mishim lo tzichanem, b'kol mekom ha-mechira havi mechira. The mechira is considered to be a mechira. Ulodat sefer ha-tumah paka mehem kdushat shriyit, v'yaf she'kasher l'smoch hazeh, k'mo she'katavnu l'mala, b'kol mekom yesh lehem amah she'yismochu, v'lachein ein le'asor perotehem b'di'evet. The Chazanish writes very clearly, yesh lehem yilismoch, and then there's a psak of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Many acholik on this psak, but he writes it pretty clearly, and it's kedai to read it, and I think it's important to read it. He writes that nira lefi ani yodati shegam amachmirim sheinam rotzim lesmoch kol heter amachira mikol mekom lefi ma shenoagim kehachraat haachronim lakia bezman hazeh b'yisar mishumar v'nevad, that mishumar v'nevad b'dieved midin v'aygar, I close up my field entirely. So the halach is b'dieved, the parrot don't become asur, and amutar b'achila nira shemutar gam v'machmirim liknot perot shvit or yirakot. The Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, he says, "Dolo asiri mishum svichim meichen banim shesomchim ala heter ve'arachen banim u'asomich anis heter." And he writes, "There is no iser one who purchases these items, and not tzarich lachshov mishum mitneiver lotei mishol, ve'im bezem mishum mitneiver v'lo mishum sayed dover yaveira." And because the person who does it is no heik, ma'amativim, he's somech on those who are matir, and there were very big Gedolei Yisrael who were matir, who were behind the Het HaMechira, and even Izmanenu Anu, there are some Gedolei Yisrael who are also behind the Het HaMechira, and therefore he writes he's not in favor of it, but for those who are somech, Yeshal Milisvach, and that's what he writes over here, and that's the basis for people who are invited by others who are somech on the Het HaMechira. So yesh amir l'smoch. That's what the Rosh Hashanah Zalman basically. That was the position that he took. I want to mention also. I didn't speak about this. The issue of biur the perot shviyit. That's also an important issue. The Torah says that v'livhem techav l'chaya asher ba'atzecha tiyakol tuata le'chol. So Chazal, the famous Rasha, Chazal say kol zman shechaya ochelat b'min ze min asadeh ata ochel ma shebabayit. Kala l'chaya min asadeh. That's the Torah Kohanim. And that's basically when a pre no longer exists in the field, that's when there's a din of beer. And the question is, what beer, what are we talking about? This is a big machloket of Rishonim. And the Rambam says that beer means to destroy the pre, it has to be destroyed. The Ramban says it means hefker. And that's generally what is the minhag mekubal from what I can see in Eretz Yisrael, lahafkir et ha-pri. Means once this man of beer, of a pre misriyam comes, how do we know? There are lists. You will see lists that come out in the course of the Shemitah year for each particular pre. Those are going to be available everywhere. Then you have to remove the pre from your house, and you have to be mafkir them, la'aniyim, l'kol adam. And as I said, anything that has to shat shviyit, that's where the din of beer is relevant. That includes machal adam, it includes machal beima, it includes smachim that I use, let's say, for the purpose of tzviyah, of dying. It includes prachim. Rechaniyim, again, prachim im reach, that have in them kedushat shviyit, or for that matter, if I have any mutzar that was produced by perot shviyit, such as yayin or shemen, or all the mitzim l'minehem, all the mitzim, all the juices, so then the din is that once the zman of the beer comes, one has to be mevayer, which means that one has to engage in an active hefker. And as I said, there are different zmanim when the particular pre is kalam asadeh. And therefore it's mishtanem pre the pre. It changes from one fruit to the next. And you'll see there are luchot zmanim of biur that will be available everywhere for each one of the sugim of gidulim that are relevant over here. Again, but we're talking about only someone who has in his property perot shviyit bekamut, which is more than shalosh sudot, more than the amount that one needs for three meals. So then the din is that that's when you have this halakha of biur, and as I said, the practice is to do it through hefker. Let me just also mention, someone asked me this question also this week, that this is a very interesting question that's discussed at length by the Pelskin, but la halakha yesh amir l'smoch, that even after, means a person who's mafkir, the perot, in front of three people, and that's what he's makbid to do, then he can go ahead and then once again reclaim the parrot. He can actually reclaim the parrot from hefker. There's a long discussion about this among the poskim, but that's generally the assumption, that's generally what's assumed among many poskim. Let's say a person was not mafkir, the parrot is not a biur, then the halacha is the parrot becomes asur b'achila. But again, we're talking only about parrot that a person has in his property with a kamut, with a large amount, and that would be relevant to the question of biur as far as perot shviyit are concerned. Okay, there's one or two last things that I'll mention. Again, I'm not discussing really the whole issue of the Het HaMechira. I spoke about it briefly, and I'll leave it at that, even though that needs a few shiurim and all the problems that are involved in the Het HaMechira, the pros and the cons, and again, there are tzadim and great gedolei Yisrael on each side of the coin. Let me just make one or two comments regarding, I guess, habrachot, atzarchan, people like ourselves who are going to be purchasing things. Again, it seems to me that one should, yesh la hadif, toser shal Eretz Yisrael. One should try to purchase that which is produced here in Eretz Yisrael. Kal v'chomer, b'shnat ha-shmitah, it seems to me that yesh la hadif, perot that grew in Eretz Yisrael, even though there are certain difficulties involved with that. And as I said, there is a big machloket among the poskim on all these matters. And as I mentioned before, and I'll list them again now, there are things that don't have to shat shviyit and things that do have to shat shviyit. If I have, let's say, perot v'yarakot, they're going to be yarakot that will be available for probably, I don't know how long exactly, 2 or 3 months, maybe even longer than that, that we're talking about shana shishit, 6 year produce, obviously, whether it's mishumar, whether it's tari, whether it's fresh, or whether it's preserved, clearly it has no kedushat shviyit, and that's not a problem. If I have, let's say, perot v'yarakot that come from chutz la'aretz, obviously it has no kedushat shviyit. If I have Yirakot that grew b'matzah menutak, that grew actually in this description I described earlier, in these chamamot, it has no kedushat shviyit. If I rely on the heter mechira, according to, as I said, according to one of the two opinions I mentioned, there's no kedushat shviyit unless you are machmir to be known kedushat shviyit, or you live in Bnei Brak. You live in Bnei Brak, then you follow the Chazon Ish. That's generally assumed. Now, on the other side of the coin, what things have kedushat shviyit? Outside Bezdin has kedushat shviyit, and therefore you have to be careful with that. And you also have, let's say, if I have yirakot, if I have vegetables that the nevita was in the sixth year, or kidney, let's say, that reached the shlish before the Shemitah, again, there are certain things that you have to be careful regarding kedushat shviyit. Now, in terms of what people are doing regarding kedushat shviyit, the leftovers, so there's something called what they generally, the term that's used is the term which is called pach shviyit, or others don't like to use that term, and he told me, I spoke to Rabbi Rimon about this, so he calls it kedushat shviyit, that one should prepare actually some sort of a pach, or if you will, some sort of a, whether it's a nylon or plastics, and again, the idea being that one should not be masid perot shviyit, and one should leave it there for. The question is how much time once you leave it there. Okay, that needs actually a lot more discussion, which I'm not going to do now because it's a lot of pratim. But Pachot Yoter, we have discussed some of the major issues relating to the Dinim of Shemitah. And I guess now I must permit you to ask questions, because otherwise you will feel you have been cheated. Yeah. According to what I told you, yesh makom lakya. The question was, if I have an atzitz makuv, I have an atzitz, a flower pot that has a preparation on balato in my house. So clearly, there's a big machloket haposkin, and according to the Pata Shulchan, yesh makom lakya. The answer is, it is permissible.
Okay. The second thing is, with trees in our yards, how does Bat Hachanata work? What is the together of Bat Hachanata and this year, next year?
And that question.
Once I've got a tree that is tree, how can I keep fruit from that tree? How much can I get?
Okay, I prefer to discuss that with you separately because it's a complicated issue, if you don't mind. Again, as I said, it needs a lot more discussion than I could really allow for here, and maybe I'll discuss it with you. I'm not sure it's something to get to so many people, but I'll discuss it with you. Yeah.
I've never been here in Shemitah. What, in January, one of my vegetables, what is actually happening? The vegetables will be available. I mean, you're not allowed to plant them at all, so you can't even plant it.
As I said, people who've been here longer, maybe Eitan, you'll be able to answer it more than I am. I only remember one Shemitah, and I was in a catatonic state in the last Shemitah, so I cannot tell you exactly what happened. People have been here longer than I have, we really have a better handle on that. Honestly, I just don't, do you remember what happens in the, let's say, in the middle of the year? As far as the Rakot are concerned, I mean, Perot, again, you have more options available to you. Although there are some, I understand, there are some yirakot that are purchased in the Arabs no matter what happens. Even in the course of the 6 years, they say malach fonim and the like cucumbers, that there's no other way of obtaining them except from Arabs. So that doesn't change. But I don't know exactly what happens here in January. I can't tell you. Yeah, you would know. Yeah.
Is it food that a restaurant is some level of Shemitah compliance, or is there... like a separate add-on, like
a head from the field. You're asking a very good question. I think you have to be very careful with the hechsherim in the restaurants in the course of the Shemitah. You have to ask. You have to ask exactly what they're doing. Are they somech on otzer haaretz? Are they buying Arab produce? What exactly are they doing?
But there's no rule like...
No, I understand. There's no... No. I don't think there's any rule of thumb. I think it depends on the particular restaurant, what they decide to do. Yeah.
Rob mentioned that as far as watering grass, that we should have a timer. For the winter, a lot of us shut off the water altogether, and at a certain point, when the weather gets warmer, we have to turn it back on again.
I think generally what the Paschim say is that as long as the frequency of watering is a bit less than the course of the regular 6 years, that's not considered to be a problem. So even if you don't have this automatic timer, as long as you reduce the frequency, I think that's sufficient. Some say actually you reduce the frequency, you can even use the kamut of mine can even be more. They'll say if I do it 3 times a week, I don't know how many times people water their grass. If it's 3 times a week, you should do it once a week. And perhaps you could even use more water during the one time that you water the grass. Yeah?
If you have a top speed and there's certain, the pulp or whatever that's dead in there, they're maybe a couple days old, and then you put in new pulp. So
and that's what it says. You should try lola arev, not to mix the old with the new. That's mentioned actually by the Paschim, because that's an issue of being mafsid peritriot. Means you have to try, you leave it there, I guess, for a day or two, then you start with another nylon, another plastic, to the extent that you can. Listen, but need to tell the Vachi are showing. We're not, what?
Right,
then you can throw it away, yeah.
Can you say anything?
You what?
Can you say anything?
Or is it
you just wrap it
in? No, you just wrap it and take it out to the garbage. Yeah. I don't think you have to, from what I can see, I don't see you have to make distinctions, such discriminating distinctions. As long as in general you reduce the frequency of the Hashkaya, it seems to be, even though you're right, that some need more and some need less, I don't think the person makes such a distinction, from what I can see. Yeah.
The Rav mentioned the Hesker for beer. Having to be down in front of 3 people, do you have to take the food and put it
in the... I mean, doing it in front of 3 people is the chatzilah, the ideal. Let's say you don't do it in front of 3 people. Let's say you're not mafkrid verbally. Let's say you're only mafkrid mentally. Okay, so that's again the poskim talk about it as far as the nature of Hesker. But the chatzilah, one should do it, as you said, with 3 people, but in the evidence is clear that it's not mocking.
Not like most of my neighbor's yard and people are orange trees.
You are, obviously. That's exactly the whole idea of healthcare that we're talking about. Yeah.
With your mocking shkala, is there anything mocking
tree? Wow. And he's asking, with your mocking shkala, is the burning of the shkala considered to be... I don't think so. We are talking about the Eitzim, right? That's what we're discussing. No, we're talking about, what are we referring to? The dough itself. Okay, I have to look it up again. I don't recall what they say about that. I don't remember. Yeah. Right, right. So basically, for example, let's say I have my daughter ask me about, I think she asked me about the pickle juice. What do we do with the pickle juice? It says in the Paschim that you should wait till the time is nifgam. And then once it's nifgam, once it becomes pagum, then you can throw it out. What?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Yeah.
You said that you can take fruit from somebody's yard.
Yeah. But basically, there's no dinim of Trumas to Mysis in the seventh year, because Hefka is Padam and Mysis. So all the... Well, I'm talking about Arla. Arla is Divin Alocha. I mean, Arla, obviously, so you continue to count the number of years. Obviously, the third year... No. Obviously not. I assume that people... Right. Again, I don't know what people do. Maybe they are Misamein. They should be Misamein. If something is Arla, certainly it should not be taken. That's for sure. Yeah.
The rub that you boil for is
when
you fry.
Right.
That's something that's not really ever going to be in a gas. Like, what are we doing?
I guess if the oil is still usable, then you have a problem. Then it should be used for other purposes, maybe other frying purposes. If it's not usable, yeah, that's the difference. I mean, if it's usable, then it has to be shatriyit. You can't be master to shatriyit, certainly it's also.
Is the Rebbe talking about
window
which has
to do shatriyit? Yeah.
Is the Rebbe talking about non-kedushas?
No, shemen has to
shatriyit. What if I fry something which is, you know,
kedushas
vegetables in old oil?
In what?
In 6 year old, in non-kedushas oil.
So obviously, that's the question: whether it has a, whether it gives off a tam or not. If it gives off a tam, and it's something that, as I said, I mentioned before, the example I gave before was of potatoes that are cooked in water. So there, generally, people don't drink the water that the potatoes are cooked in, but in the chicken soup or some vegetable soup, certainly it would. The tam is certainly there; it would have to do shishui. Yeah. I think you should try to be a bit more on top of it than you normally would be. But as I said, and I think for children, I understand that you can't expect that suddenly in the Shemitah year they're going to become Yelad Tuv Yerushalayim and eat the entire pri down to the very garin. That obviously is not realistic. But you should try to encourage them to eat more of it, perhaps, than they normally would be accustomed to. And whatever shaviyot you have, as I said, I saw even the Chazon Ish is mekel regarding this matter, and says you don't necessarily have to eat it down to the very core. It's not necessary. Yeah?
You said that you don't take too much in matter from fruit during the Shemitah year.
Right.
How does that apply if you have fruit at the beginning of the Shemitah year, which does not have two vegetables to eat, and likewise,
okay, that relates to the question that you raised. Okay, you know, I'm going to have to discuss that separately because I have to look into it a bit more carefully. Maybe I have to be mind into it. The question that Joel asked earlier. I'll look into it and maybe I'll get back to both of you. We'll know the next day or two. I want to be mind into it a bit further before I discuss it. Yeah? Yeah, Supra Tzlach is Otsar Aretz, and also in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Right, Dil Bezol is also, what it means is the following, they're under contract only to purchase things that either come from Otsar Bezin, they're going to be Misuman. That's the agreement that has been made with them. What is Otsar Bezin? What is Dvar Ma'arava? What is...
If it's Otsar Bezin, you can buy as much as you want, or
it's limited? You can, yeah. I mean, in terms of what the store is going to do.
Yeah.
They ask Kedusha Shriyat, right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You could. They won't be selling again. They're going to be. That's right. They also have the same obligation. That's right. It will be lefi luach hazmanim of the particular item. Yeah.
It's going about that. Isn't it true that everything else, especially ready-made goods, wine and oils,
so I was told, that's what someone told me. Again, I don't know the reality here so well, to be honest with you. I was told that a lot of the canned products, for example, should not be a problem because the shelf life of produce in this country is, shall we say, of an extended nature. And therefore, we're talking about produce that comes from previous years. A lot of the canned stuff, and apparently in the large warehouses, there are massive numbers of cans from previous years.
And wine as well.
Now wine, I'm not sure exactly what the situation there is. What?
The wine has to be bottled in here. Stand on the water.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, I mean, usually they're listed. The wine will say Kedusha Shriya. Generally, that's right. What Joel says is correct. The wine will say Kedusha Shriya. I say, but what I understand, most of the canned products, I imagine they should list. They should be listed. Kedusha Shriya, the Balik Kedusha Shriya, the Log Kedusha Shriya, whatever it is. I think it should be listed. But I was told by someone this week, a Rav told me, who's been here for many, many years, he's an Israeli, he told me most of the canned products do not have a problem with Kedusha Shriya. Because they're from previous years. What? I don't think it's from last Shemitah. I think Baruch Hashem that we've got a little bit beyond that. Yeah.
You talked earlier about dicing, pureeing.
Right.
So what about baby food? You puree all things.
So therefore, babies, there's also a makom la'kel. That's what the Chazon Ish also writes. For babies, he also writes for skenim. The people who are elderly, have difficulty chewing, has to be pureed. So even though it's true, it's not the derech for most people to eat in that fashion. For tinokot and skenim, mutar la'asot
et zeh.
Right. I mean, there's a lot more. Otzah Haaretz has grown exponentially this Shemitah. There are large cities that have taken on Otzah Haaretz. A city like Tzfat has taken on Otzah Haaretz. Again, not the entire city, but good segments of the city have taken on Otzah Haaretz. So it's going to be much larger than it was the last Shemitah. What? I'm talking about the Rabbanut of Tzfat. Correct, correct. Rabbanut of Tzfat is using Otzah Haaretz. That is an issue which I asked people in Otzah Haaretz. I'm involved a little bit with the Otzah Bezdin of Otzah Haaretz. I asked them about smachot and weddings and the like. They're not exactly catering affairs. That's not what they're doing. They're not built for such a massive kind of enterprise. But they certainly have expanded considerably, and I hope, Mitzvah Hashem, I really hope they'll be matzliach. I personally, as I've expressed my opinion a number of times, I feel we should not, as far as I'm concerned, we should be supporting the Chaklaim in Eretz Yisrael. I feel very strongly about it. I want the farmers to be matzliach, not just this year, but in Mitzvah Hashem for many, many years to come. And I also am very opposed to, shall we say, giving the Arabs millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of shekel. I think it's something which is absolutely unconscionable. Now, I'll be honest with you. When you ask someone in the, what you call the Mahadran world, as you described it, I think Otzah Haaretz is also Mahadran. It's more Mahadran. It's according to the Chazon Ish. So it's Mahadran and Mahadran, not just not Mahadran. Anyway, but the if you ask them, I mean, Rabbi Yashu's position is that why are they not in favor? They're not against Otzah Haaretz. That's not correct to say they're against it. But they want to be Yotzi L'Kol HaDeyot. That's the position that's associated with Rabbi Yashu. They want to be Yotzi L'Kol HaDeyot. And therefore, as a result of that, they feel, and plus they're also concerned about handling Gdushat Shviyat. That is something which is a big achrayim. It's a very big concern, very big responsibility. That I understand also, that concern and that sikun that's involved. But overall, it seems to me a milta the pshita that we should use Otzah Haaretz. Not even a suffix to me. I don't understand what the issue is, I'll be honest with you. And as I said, we're basically following all the kulas of the Chazon Ish, and he has many, many kulas. We're learning to Shemitah. Okay, I guess we'll...